You're listening to Spring Trading Tuesday on ESPN Chicago.
Yurko, spring trading, finishing up another day of spring trading here on ESPN 1000, the random draw. Hosts going all over the place, and there you have it, Black and Yurko at night here on ESPN 1000. We'll take your calls at 312-332-3776. Taylor in Hyde Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Taylor?
Taylor.
Yo, what's going on, guys? What up?
What's up, man? What do you got?
Hey, man, great song, obviously, as you guys know. I have enjoyed some product with the King Willie, and I will say never again.
Yeah.
Never, ever again. Cool story with him and Snoop. I can hopefully tell you guys later, but I will say this. The World Baseball Classic is amazing. This is the most exciting I've been for the start of the MLB season in a long time, and I think it's a shame that the U.S. has only won one of these. I mean, that's like the USA basketball team not winning the gold almost every year. This should be something we should win every single time, and the excitement should be around it. The game last night, one of the best games I've ever seen in my life. I mean, literally, the mistakes from Mexico overrunning third base to the home run saved by Rizzo. I mean, it's been a crazy exciting Ohtani in the ninth inning. Walk off. I mean, it's been crazy. So I would say this is the most exciting I've ever been for the springtime for baseball. This reminds me of the beginnings of the World Cup, and I hope this continues to get bigger, larger, more important, and the stars come out and play.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Taylor. And I'd say, you know, in comparison to he mentioned basketball, how the U.S. should always win, I would say a World Baseball Classic, it might be the fairest of all contests between various countries from around the globe.
Right. I mean, Costa Rica's always got a good team.
Dominican Republic's
good. Right. Venezuela would usually have a good baseball team.
Like, this is the fifth World Baseball Classic. Japan has won two championships.
Two.
The U.S. won the last one in 2017, and the Dominican Republic won in 2013. There's only been four winners.
Right.
The U.S. won the last one. So I kind of disagree with what Taylor's saying, that he's surprised that the U.S. hasn't won more. I mean, Japan takes this very seriously. So, like, the fact that they've won the first two and then they're now competing for a third tonight in the championship, I think it makes a lot of sense. And the wealth of teams that are good at baseball around the world, it's pretty even.
And
you have a lot of options.
And this is a professional, so there's no talk about amateurs, nothing.
Right.
Everybody that plays in this thing is a professional. When the basketball thing went sour is when college basketball players were playing professionals from other areas.
Yeah.
The first time you saw a little weakness in the U.S. is when Oscar and Brazil beat the United States in a competition. I think Oscar had 50 that day. Brazilians only with one name. Probably has more,
Oscar.
But he only went by Oscar at the time. Then I believe it was the Serbians that caught the, or Yugoslavia at the time, it was still Yugoslavia at the time, that ended up beating the United States in a where the college players were still representing. That's why the Dream Team came about
right.
in 1992. It had to be a world championship somewhere. And Yugoslavia ended up beating the United States in a competition.
In recent history, world basketball has become pretty competitive at the top. Spain's been good. Various other countries have popped up and been competition for the U.S. So it's not just a runaway where it's a guarantee that the U.S. of A. has the best team. But I do think that that's what kind of makes this World Baseball Classic compelling, is that there's various different countries from around the globe that can all compete and all have viable teams and all have major leaguers, and like they're names that you know and people that you watch. And you know, we were watching Cuba, they lose the other night,
right.
And we know there are multiple White Sox on the team, and like there are different connections all over the place.
They,
and I think it makes
guy,
it
they had a
interesting.
Guy defect too,
yeah, right.
They had the players say, "Up, I'm not going back."
Chase on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Chase?
Black, what's up, man?
What's up, dude?
Yakko! What up, good kid?
What up, Chase? How are you, kid?
I'm good, man. It's good hearing from you, man.
Well, it's a pleasure to be heard.
Yes, sir. Hey, Yurko, I got a question for you, right?
Yeah.
So,
if you was picking number one overall and you were the GM, so I'm giving you a choice between either picking Warren Sapp in the middle or you got to pick Reggie White, pass rusher. Between those, if you had to pick those two, between the two,
right? I just
who are you going with?
I'm going to go with Reggie White.
So you're going with edge rusher instead of the middle?
Old school edge rusher. Old school edge rusher. Here's a better comparison, and I'll ask you this question. Who would you rather have? Would you rather take Warren Sapp, or who's the big guy that was in Seattle that played in the middle that was a Hall of Famer that
Cortez
came out?
Cortez Kennedy.
Cortez Kennedy.
Yeah, he was a Seahawk, yeah.
Right, he was a Seahawk in the middle. Who would you rather take?
I would always want to take the guys in the middle, like guys like Cortez Kennedy or Ted Washington guys, because those guys created more of a stack opportunities for the guys on the edge because of their size. They ate up a lot of space. Like, didn't those guys have more of an effect on the outside than
edge? The guys in the middle can certainly create havoc, but a guy like Reggie White made you a one-handed football team. You could only go away from Reggie. Even though my advice when I played Reggie would be to run straight at him, but you've got to be willing to make a commitment to that, because if he makes plays on the first two plays, you can't abandon it. Can't abandon the philosophy. But he would make you a left-handed football team. You wouldn't want to run to him. You'd want to cut him off. You'd want to make life easier for your tackle. And then you'd want to be successful in the run and go after him via the play-action pass. That way you get him moving side to side, not heading upfield.
Whoa, Chase, what's going on there? What do you got? Are you shaving? What's happening?
No, I'm sorry.
Sounds like you're shaving.
I was dropping something off to somebody. I was dropping an order off to somebody.
No problem. You're working?
Right.
Yeah, just hustling,
Nothing wrong with that.
All right.
We like it.
We like it.
Yeah, you got no choice. You got to do what you got to do.
That's right.
But Yurko, one more question I got for you, though, right? So I asked you a question. Do you remember Rick Meyer?
Yeah, of course I do. The Goshen Motion out of Notre Dame.
Yeah. Do you remember, would you consider, him as the worst draft bust NFL history between him and Heath Shuler? Wasn't Heath Shuler and Rick Meyer considered the worst draft bust in NFL history?
Well, I think Mandrich may have been considered the worst, one of the biggest busts in history. He played a number of years. I mean, he played 10, 12 years in the league, Rick Meyer. I mean, a lot as a backup. His overall statistics in his career aren't phenomenal. But, he played quarterback for an extended period of time. But Seattle, if you ask people in Seattle, they'd tell you it was an absolute bust. And then Chicago spent a first-round draft choice for him in 97. He came in and only played 7 games and was very generic numbers. And then he bounced around the league for the rest of it. So... I wouldn't say that he had a stellar career by any stretch, but I think the people in Seattle are disappointed, and they would consider him a draft bust.
Oh, man.
But Dan McGuire, they drafted Dan McGuire, too, and Dan McGuire was awful also. So it's not like they haven't had their shares of bust quarterbacks up there. They kind of figured out how exactly to be awful at picking quarterbacks at some time. Back in the day. I got to see if Dan... Yeah, 91 Seattle. There he is. Games played. 13 in his career with Seattle. Ooh. That's not good. I'm trying to see exactly where they picked him.
Thank you, Chase.
16th pick in the first round. Chase, 16th pick in the first round, they picked him. I mean, that's awful, right?
Yurko, what just happened there was fantastic. You talked so much that you got Chase to hang up on us. Usually, we have to hang up on Chase because we're like, Chase, enough. You're talking about Trubisky now. I love that. That was great.
I can thank you.
You just reversed it on him.
I can host the filibuster if you need one.
No,
I've seen Mr. Smith
one.
Goes to Washington. I can hold a conversation with myself for an extended period of time if I have to.
But did you hear the way that happened?
Yeah.
Usually we have to say, Chase, we got to move on.
We got to go.
He was sick of hearing you talk about it. And he was like, all right.
So
I got to go, guys.
Was the 16th pick in the first round in 1991, just so we understand.
Yes.
Because McGuire was a bust
in
a first-round pick, they went and probably reached a little bit for Rick Meyer. who, after his Notre Dame career, was an absolute phenomenon.
That's how it always works.
They loved him down there.
Yeah.
You know, the Goshen Motion, Rick Meyer, they loved him. I liked him. He rented my house for me in 1998 before I finally sold it.
Really?
So I appreciate Rick Meyer.
He's
teammates with my brother. Teammates with my brother. Yes.
He gets you the rent on time?
Rent was on time. Rent was all in advance.
Good. Did you write a letter of recommendation for him for the next?
For his winery. I did. This guy deserves a loan for the winery. Okay. Hopefully all his vines are perfect and they're giving him beautiful grapes.
Yes. Paul in Elmwood Park, you're on ESPN 1000. Yurko's in for Abdallah. It's spring trading. What's up, Paul?
Hey, guys. Black, you know, I've called in before and I've talked to you, and I know where you stand on this, but because Yurko's in tonight, I just kind of wanted to pitch this question at him.
Yeah.
So, Yurko, I've called in, and I was a big big fan of kind of just losing out for the rest of the season.
I got you.
And getting that number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know, what do you think is more beneficial? Do you think it's more beneficial for the future to wind up with this number one pick and stock up on some talented players moving forward to help Justin Fields? Or do you think it would have been more beneficial to win a couple games at the end of the season, wind up later in the draft and not probably be able to trade back or anything like that, but you would have had a couple more wins?
Paul, I would offer you, now that you know where you're at and exactly where you're sitting, and the fact that Lovie Smith helped you out and you're able to get DJ Moore and move back and get yourself a little bit of inventory of picks for 2024 and 25, I think that the ability to get where you were and get up there, remember, you were 3-4 at the time when you decided that you didn't want to play. Okay?
Correct.
So it wasn't like you were totally pathetic. At the time, I wish they could have beat Washington and the New York Giants. Right? Those were two very real games.
Winnable games.
That were in your hands in Detroit. Now, I think they would have been valuable for Justin Fields to be able to come out and be victorious in some of those games. I think they could have helped him on a personal level. But as a team level, and looking at it big picture-wise, I think you're better with where you're at positionally, being with the number one pick and then trading down and getting all the assets that you got.
So, a follow-up question.
But now, I still got to get Justin Fields to learn how to win.
Right.
And learning how to win in this league is very important. Some people don't believe in it. Having played 10 years, I know how important it is. So,
Yurko, the guy's a winner, and you're not taking that away from him just because he lost a couple games at the end of the season. He's not sitting at home now thinking he's a loser or something. And you know, I mentioned before, learning to win really helped Trubisky win in the long run, right? It's a team effort. But my follow up question is: say you did win a couple games, do you think you're still overhauling this team like you are, or do you think you would be more content with keeping some guys around?
The decision to overhaul the team was made by Ryan Poles when he decided to trade everybody. So the offseason where he said, I'm going to take on a bunch of dead money, but when he sent Roquan Smith and he sent Robert Quinn on their way, that's when he said, nothing matters. He goes, the most important thing that matters right now is the fact that we get the best draft position possible to see what we can do with it. So that's when he decided it.
Yurko, I 100% agree. And that's what I said, too. When we couldn't beat the Giants, when we couldn't beat the Vikings, when we couldn't beat Washington, even though Fields was doing everything he could, I just said, you know, this team's not – everything can go right for Fields, and the team around him is still just not good enough, period.
But let's remember, though, Paul, let's remember, you and me, though, it wasn't until about the Dallas game that the offense started to do a little something and create a little bit of magic. And it's the first time they put 29 on the board.
It was the Minnesota game 30, when they were down by three scores and Fields started to bring them back.
Thank you. It was the first time there was a little spark.
And it was like, hold on, this is unexpected. And then, you're right, they go to Dallas.
Roquan plays.
Yeah, the defense.
They give up 49 points. And then it's, okay, the hell with all this.
Yeah.
This is not what we're going to do. We're going to do it differently, and we're going to try to get whatever draft choice we can get.
Thanks for the call, Paul.
Thank you guys so much. Appreciate both of you.
Thank you, Paul.
Black and Abdallah on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Spring Trading Tuesday on ESPN Chicago.
Yurko, spring trading here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. You're back to your normal shift here on the station tomorrow, correct?
Yeah, I'm noon? Ready. Noon tomorrow.
All right. I'll be here with you. Abdullah will be here to hang out with
great.
You.
Great.
It'll be good. And we will be reunion. Back tomorrow night.
We'll talk to that weed-smoking little partner of yours.
Yes, Abdullah.
6 years of having to put up with that.
I know. Yeah. It was a smoky apartment.
I mean, that's a long time. No considerations whatsoever.
None.
Your clothes smelled like weed when you went out. He didn't care.
There's hot boxing in there.
Yeah.
Did you guys have, any high karate, a 5-gallon drum of it,
I don't know.
High karate was old school spritzer.
Oh, okay.
Cologne.
Sure.
You can get it in like a 5-gallon jug.
No, it was like the Axe body spray.
Was it Axe body spray?
Yeah, that's that
That'll
was
work.
The way we would take showers back in the day.
Well,
just
that Axe, whatchamacallit? We wouldn't spray. I get you showers. But that Axe, like body soap? Boom, everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
Well, everywhere. I don't
You're
know what's in it, but it's got
to
be good, right? It's
absolutely.
If it suds up, it means it's good.
Yeah, it's fine.
Beautiful.
No, it's our place was a blank hole. It was the crappiest apartment you could find in Lakeview.
I mean, that's the way it works.
But it was great. Yeah. It worked for the time. Like, our kitchen was so bad that we didn't have, like, countertops. We had a standalone sink, and then we had, like, a chest that we turned into like a countertop that we would do all our cooking on. And we had a table, and that we used the table as like the countertop.
It was small.
I don't know. It was a two-bedroom, but my bedroom was basically a closet under the stairs.
Oh, boy.
that's what it was.
That's never fun.
At one point, I remember we had a hole in the bathroom.
You're like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Your room was like Harry Potter's room.
It was.
Right?
At one point, we had a hole in the bathroom, and we thought we heard something. And we definitely saw like a rat scurry.
Oh boy!
Into the hole, and we never saw the rat again. So I don't know if we really had
a
problem.
Did you stuff that hole with anything?
No,
did you
it was just
call
open. No,
the superintendent.
It was just an open hole.
The guy with all the keys.
It was
did
just
you
an
say,
open
"Hey,
hole.
Can you come fix this?" Did you call the landlord?
The landlord,
or the owner of the building.
So the landlord owned the building. He lived on the first floor.
Oh.
We lived above.
Was his name Dragomir?
No. Carlos.
Carlos.
And Carlos, I think he patched something from the outside, but we never fixed the hole on the inside.
On the inside, yes.
So who knows? I think the rat was just there with us for a few years. I don't know.
Took care of it.
Thank you, Carlos. At one point, Abdallah and I, when we lived there, you know Bill Cartwright?
Sure.
His son lived above us.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Bill Cartwright's son lived above us in our crappy apartment in Lakeview. It was a good time. 6 years.
Was his crappy too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Please.
Just crappy building.
Yeah. I mean, it was old. It was an old three flat. You know how it is in
Chicago.
You know,
my people have some buildings down here.
I would assume.
Yeah.
Some of them are my neighbors now in Avondale. I know. Well aware. Absolutely. Dirt on the West Side. You're on ESPN 1000. All calls welcome.
Hey, what's up? So, yeah, I wanted to chime in on the Bears talk.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I know you guys said it was the Dallas game, but it was actually the New England Patriots game. So it was the Vikings game where they started to come back and show some spark. Then they
won.
They came in like act crazy against the Washington Commanders. Then that next they had that mini bye. And then that's when they came out and just blew New England out. That's when we seen what – we're like, okay, well, we may have some here. Then the Dallas game next, they put up like 30 points.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think this team got about a good 7 to 8 wins in the next year.
Yeah, that's when they started going goofy. The Cowboys, they put some 29. Yeah. Then the Dolphins, they put up 32.
Thanks, Derek.
Right.
Lions was competitive. They put up 30. The Falcons, how they found a way to lose to the Falcons.
Oh, no.
Imotsasina duhas fifth kwam and just crossed myself and I blessed myself. How they lost that game. Then they went into the Jets when the Jets still felt like they were a football team. And they lost 31-10. They were 7-3. They lost their last 7. So that was the last victory for the New York Jets before they went and went down their pant leg and didn't win anything else. And then it got 28-19, not quite good enough against the Packers. But at that point when they trade away Roquan and they trade away, I think it does demoralize the football team. The offense did the best they could. And there were 2-3 games that were missed by our quarterback, were there not?
Yeah, the
with
Jets
the shoulder
game.
Issue.
Yeah,
yes.
He was out for the Jets game, and that was basically the moment the game started. The Bears lost that contest because remember Simeon hurt himself in pregame; he wasn't going to play.
Right,
and then he decided he wanted to play for his guys. Noble effort there, but he was like, we basically didn't have an offense.
Right. Yes.
In that contest.
Yes,
and Dirt was right. The game that really popped it was the Patriots game. It will forever, in the history of Chicago sports, be known as the it was the short bye week, right? Wasn't it the double bye in that situation where they played on the Thursday night, and then they played on the following Monday? So it was it wasn't the official bye week. They played the week before, but the way the schedule worked out,
gave them extra time,
and they were prepared. And that was a game that, Yurko, we were talking about in the moment. That was a game you had to give the credit to Matt Eberflus for. I don't think that, you know, usually head coaches in this town get a beating for everything. Right, like usually the coaches in this town get blamed for everything first.
Right.
Matt Eberflus has had a pretty soft landing in his first season here as Bears head coach because they were not expected to win. And when you did point out things that you could question, the response was always, well, they don't have a lot of talent. Why would you say that the coach can't do anything? And it's like, well, the defense was so bad.
That's the same excuse with Getsy.
That they would improve a little, right?
And it's the same excuse that we offered up for Justin Fields, that there's not enough talent for to really be able to judge him.
And in a situation where you could give credit to the head coach was that game against the Patriots, because they definitely showed up, they were prepared, and they outplayed a better football team on that day. So that was definitely a game that we're going to keep our eyes on throughout the history of Chicago sports and point back to and be like, remember that? They had the early bye situation when they won the game against the Patriots. Raul in Logan Square, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
What up, guys? What up, good kid?
How you doing, Raul?
Man, it's a pleasure. I listen to you guys when I'm on lunch. Now I'm listening to when I'm going home. But I just want to say on the draft, on the Bears pick on number 9, would Detroit them picking a defensive player, will that dictate the Bears picking an offensive tackle right away? Because you need a counter with what they do. But I'm hoping in a perfect world they don't get an impact instant player in that pick, in the first pick of Detroit. That way, if they do draft a quarterback, the Bears could probably go get that wide receiver at 9. But, you know, obviously if they do draft somebody defensively, would the Bears have to counter automatically with the best offensive tackle available?
Yeah, I think they're going to go with Jalen Carter, and I think the Bears are going to go with the big kid from Ohio State. And if they didn't go with the big kid from
Johnson
Ohio,
Jr.
Yeah, Paris Johnson Jr. Skronsky might still be available there. And the defensive edge guy from Texas Tech would be there probably also.
Wilson?
Yeah.
Tyree Wilson.
Yes.
I also had a question. I mean, obviously the Bears are doing good and the rebuild is going to be quickly. Detroit's up stepped it up a notch. They're ahead.
Yeah.
Would it be crazy enough for them to trade those first two first-round picks to Detroit for Lamar Jackson with Jared Goff? Would that be scary on Detroit's part if they did offer, you know what, we're going to give you Goff, our first two-round picks, give us Lamar Jackson? Obviously, they don't have no big money tied up in the organization, and Detroit is a crap town from what I've heard. Never been there, but what's the possibility and the scariness? Because, I mean, it gets scary. I hit the ball, you know what I'm saying? And I started tweaking, you know, I'm like, man, what if Detroit, you know, I hit the little ball and I started thinking all positive. I'm like, man, what if Detroit offers Goff and those two, and it's a reachable asset. That will make Detroit automatic Super Bowl contenders, especially in the NFC. You know, it's crazy, right?
Thanks, Raul. Thanks for the phone call.
420 comes quick enough everywhere, right?
I love it, Yurko.
So Detroit's getting better.
They
for those
are.
Who haven't been up to Detroit. No, I'm talking about the city. Detroit's getting better. They went through a little bit of a lull.
It's
they went
all
through
right.
a little bit of a downturn.
It's a Midwestern city.
They've got a little revitalization happening there. It's getting better.
Yeah.
Right?
It's not Chicago.
Right. I mean,
let's not kid ourselves.
I mean, it's never going to be Chicago, but
it's a nice little Midwestern city.
Right.
I'll give you that.
It was the automobile capital of the world.
Yeah. I've been there a few times.
They were punching out Chryslers in the factory. You know,
it's some good hot dog places over there.
GM, everything, making things happen.
Of course.
They had a nice little Greek town there, too.
Well, now the auto industry is going to electric.
Well, that's what I've heard.
So, Yurk, you got to be prepared for that.
There's a big to-do. I'll be buying up all the old diesel trucks.
I'll say this, Yurk. When you look at, because of Raul's concern of the scary Lions, if you're building your team, how much do you consider what the others in your division are doing? while you're building your own team?
I don't. I could just consider what I'm doing.
That's why when he asked the question, yeah. The first thing that jumped out in my mind would be like, good for the Lions. I want to be the best team that I can build.
Right.
Like, I'm not making moves to counter the moves that they're making, because in my opinion, I don't know the lifespan of this Lions group. I mean, I get it. Everyone thinks that they're the sexy pick coming into this next season. There is the chance that they fall back to reality and they're not as good as what we saw at the end of last season. That happens in the NFL every year. We anoint teams going into the next year. They don't take that next step forward. That is certainly possible. So I wouldn't make moves based on hoping that they don't do something or they do something and we need to counter.
Right.
Therefore, they went defense. We have to take an offensive tackle.
So if I saw any trends happening in this, and I don't think this is much of a reach, 13-4 Minnesota Vikings come back down to earth with a 9-8 football team next year. That's what I see.
Same. I agree with you on that.
I see Green Bay continue their struggles trying to figure out who their quarterback is going to be. Whether it's going to be Jordan Love, whether he's the guy they can count on, or they're going to have to bring something else in with a young receiving core as they move forward.
I would say not below 5 wins, though. I would say they're going to struggle.
Six,
but they're going to be seven. They're going to get some wins. They're not going to be the worst team in the NFL.
If somebody set that number at 6.5, I wouldn't argue with it.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then I would have to decide what's going to happen up there. I'd have to decide. I don't know what's going to happen.
Is the Lions number, though, above 9?
I've got the Lions number above 9, yeah.
So, and like, they're a 10, 11 win team?
I would take them at 9.5.
Okay.
You're a loser at 9, you're a winner at 10.
And then Chicago sells in around 7.5?
I'm going to tell you why. Because the offensive line is only getting better.
Mm-hmm.
They're another year together. Their defensive line, if they get Jalen Carter, is only getting better. It's going to be scary. Might be one of the best defensive lines in the league. That type of, you know, rhetoric, and that wouldn't be just idle rhetoric. That wouldn't be just being, oh, look at this, or look at this, look at, oh my.
No, you know, they'll be good.
No, they're going to be a good football
team.
Yeah, they're going to be a good football team. Limitations at the quarterback position that we all know about.
Right.
We all know what the limitations are for Jared Goff at the quarterback position, but they're building it to a point where, okay, it might not matter. Jamal Williams, they still got Swift, right?
Yep.
They signed a running back, I believe, in Detroit, too.
Yeah, they did. Montgomery.
They signed Montgomery. Yeah. So they're fine at the running back position. They didn't overpay for anybody. They didn't go crazy. I don't know what Jamal Williams wanted. He wanted what, $50 million? Because he's the guy that poaches all the touchdowns down near the goal line? They'll find somebody else. Montgomery will do that this year.
Yeah.
And Swift will be the guy that they hit, you know, running on the swing passes and all that kind of stuff. So, so I see Detroit going up. I see Chicago going up. So Chicago and Minnesota, I see jockeying for number two. Chasing Detroit with Green Bay kind of mired in their own quarterback issues.
New reality.
Hey.
Trying to figure it out.
Why not? First time in 30 years.
Good luck to them.
First time in 31 years, they're worried about their quarterback position. Okay, fine. Good. You deserve it.
How about this? Yurko has zoo news for us next.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
You're listening to Spring Trading Tuesday on ESPN Chicago.
Hey, it's Black and Abdallah. Yurko is in today because it's spring trading, and what a treat to hang out with Yurko. You've taken a lot of calls. See, our great night listeners, they just want to talk to Yurko. They just want to hang out with you.
Nothing wrong with that. I'm more than happy to answer questions about my time in the league. My thoughts on the individuals that I was with, guys that I played against, coaches, some of the front office people that I knew, some of the front office people that I couldn't stand. Oh, I got a list of front office people I can't stand.
Number one on the list.
Number one on the list is Charlie Winter, the general manager of the Miami Dolphins circa 1990.
Yeah.
Monty Clark, the old Detroit Lions football coach, was his assistant at the time.
Yeah, he was bad too.
That cheapskate didn't want to pay me to drive down to Miami.
Yeah.
He goes, well, a flight would have only cost me $101. I said, I didn't fly. I said, it's 1,000 miles. It's like, at the time, it was like 30 cents a gallon. That's $300. I says, write me a check for $300. Then I told him off. And then the defense coordinator, Alvin Dottie, asked me, hey, what happened? I go, that cheap blank and blank blank wants to... you know, blank me out of so much money.
Right.
I think he only wants to give me $100. He said, I spent $300 in gas.
Right.
You know, And he's like, well, he goes, so don't worry, I'll take care of it. And that was Alvin Dotti, my defense coordinator. I said, I don't care if he gets rid of me today. It doesn't make a difference. You don't cheat a guy out of $200. But that's the way it was. The NFL was cheap back then.
That's awesome. Yurko is here. He'll
Dave
take your
Selden,
calls.
Number two on that list.
Number two on the list. Wait, I thought you gave me two Jaguars. Names there. So two is one
well, no,
for
Charlie,
number one?
Charlie Winter. I'm just letting you know who the assistant general manager was.
So Charlie Winter
but it was
one.
Winter. I think number Monty two Clark is... actually was kind of embarrassed a little bit for the organization.
Well, of course.
Two is Dave Selden. Him and his wife, boy, too. I'm telling you, the twosome was special. They were part owner of the Jaguars, and they gave themselves front office position.
Oh, that's nice.
Shockingly enough,
football
with the
people,
old double dip, yeah.
The old football people.
So what they did was
are they taking an income there too?
Yes, they were.
Oh, that's nice.
They offered employees discount tickets in the prime areas, like the premier areas,
right?
Where you didn't have to pay like $165, you can get them for $82.50. So I went in as an employee of the club to get discounted tickets at $82.50, and she told me I wasn't eligible for it. So what do you mean? I said, I'm an employee of the club. It's an employee discount. And then she started to, you know, be a little smart aleck, which she was. And then I went right back at her because, I don't go gentle into the good night.
No, you don't.
So I gave it back to her.
Okay.
And then I had Bobby Monica, the equipment guy, give me 10 tickets, and so it went through him.
You just went around it.
I just went around it.
Yeah.
She goes, you know, I know you're going to try to go. I said, don't worry. I said, you ain't got to worry about nothing.
Right.
I said, just sell your employees the tickets. That's all you got to do.
Yeah. So wait.
I walked away.
How did she justify that you were not an employee?
I was a player.
Okay. Players are not employees.
Well, we're still employees, but I was a player.
You didn't cash a check.
And I got checks, but I got a bigger check that I should have to pay full price.
Okay. Got it.
I go, then it's not an employee discount, is it?
No, it's not. Here on Black and Abdallah weeknight, 6 to 8 on ESPN 1000.
Number three on that list.
Number three. Who do you got?
I'm joking. No,
any
I'm
former
joking.
Program directors on the list?
Oh, boy. Only one. Only one. And he works on the other side of town.
Oh, so we won't be at the anniversary party on Friday, 25th anniversary party.
I don't think. He might invite himself.
Who knows? He'd have to buy a ticket. No discounts. Yurko
used to have a funny nickname for him too.
Yurko, here on the show at night, we have a segment we like to call Zoo News.
Well, hello, Mr. Lion. Here's the latest edition of the Zoo News.
Yurko, do you have any zoo news for us?
I've got two pieces of news about the same zoo.
Wow.
And I want you to know this, Brookfield Zoo.
Wow, local story.
Local here in Brookfield, shockingly enough, has been named one of the top zoos in the country, according to a Newsreader's Choice poll.
Wow.
USA Today announced that the zoo placed 5th out of 10 in their latest 10 Best Reader's Choice 2023 poll.
Wow.
The nominees, can I go from 10 to 5
yes.
to let you know exactly where we rank in the country?
Please do.
Number 10, Indianapolis.
Okay.
Columbus Zoo and Aquarium at number 9.
That's a nice zoo.
The St. Louis Zoo.
Think about it. In St. Louis, there's nothing to do down there besides an arch, the Cardinals, and a zoo.
Yeah, the Audubon Zoo.
Oh, I don't know where that is.
I don't know where the Audubon Zoo be. Zoo Tampa at Lowry Park. That's a zoo named right where it needs to be.
Right.
Not only are we in Tampa, but we're at Lowry Park,
The park, yes.
That's the name, not the Audubon Zoo. And then coming at number 5.
Yes.
The Brookfield Zoo.
Congrats
and
to the Brookfield
one
Zoo.
One of the reasons we might be number 5 on that list and moving up.
Are you saying we have more zoo news?
Well, I wonder what's new with the zoo, baby.
Brookfield Zoo is expanding the outdoor areas for apes and monkeys. That's right.
That's great.
Rafiki is going to get more room to find Simba. That's right. In climbing structures, grasses and vines are just some of the features that will be incorporated into the new habitats for the apes and the monkeys.
That's very nice.
That's why they're moving up the list. Brookfield Zoo.
Brookfield Zoo.
Making news in America and around the world.
There it is. There's your zoo news.
That's what is new at the zoo.
Do you have the list still? Who was number one?
Number one on that list.
Was San Diego number one? They're always highly rated.
No.
They have pandas at the San Diego Zoo.
Number
That's a big
one
deal.
Is the Omaha's Henry Dorley Zoo and Aquarium. You got a double dip in Omaha.
Wow. Man,
Omaha's Henry Dorley Zoo, and how about the double bubble, the aquarium?
Well, of course.
We can't compete. Our aquarium is here on the lakefront.
Yeah, that's true.
The Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden. Again, a double dipper.
Cincinnati.
It's a zoo.
A famous zoo, right?
Yeah, and a garden.
Yeah.
A zoo and a garden.
When you add the garden in there, I understand. That's tough.
And the Brevard Zoo. Do you know where Brevard is at?
No, where's that?
It's somewhere in America. Cheyenne Mountain Zoo. I'm assuming this is Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Yes.
Yes.
They've got a zoo on the mountain.
The Cheyenne Mountain Zoo, known for its goats.
All right.
Yeah. And its mountainous region.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I'm all excited. Right. But yeah, Omaha's
number five.
Henry Dorley Zoo and Aquarium.
That's pretty good. Brookfield is number five
number
on
five,
the list.
And all
the
we
AP.
Have is a zoo.
That's pretty good. A standalone
think about
zoo.
That. USA
That's
Today
nice.
Poll.
That's pretty good. Yurko with the zoo news.
That's what is new. At the zoo.
We'll be back.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah. ESPN Chicago. This is Spring Trading Tuesday. Same lovable ESPN Chicago host, but paired with different radio partners. Spring Trading Tuesday continues on ESPN Chicago.
Thank you to Jay Cantu and to Kendra Smith for producing tonight's show. Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. We'll be back tomorrow night, 6 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000. Black and Abdallah, 6 to 8. We'll also be with Carmen and Yurko from noon to 2 right here on ESPN 1000. That's where you'll find Yurko as he's hanging out today. It's spring trading. Black and Yurko, we randomly got paired together once again. For spring trading.
It's a miracle almost.
It's just all the names go in a hat.
Miraculous.
And just the random draw.
They come out.
2 weeks ago, it hit on Bleck and Yurko, and this it week did. Hits on Bleck. Hey, Yurko, maybe next Tuesday we'll be paired again.
It could be.
You want to, should we just?
I hope it's the same time slot, too. 6 to 8. I
it's
love
fine
it.
With me.
Yeah.
It's the show that we do every night. There's
That's
no problem.
Right.
Mo in Frankfurt, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey,
hello, Mo.
Hey, Mo.
Hey, guys. How are you? Man, this is awesome. Yurko and Black, that's beautiful. I love it. Johnny
Thank
Handsome.
You.
Johnny Baseball.
I'm here for you, Mo.
Johnny, the man of the people. Johnny the good kid.
Johnny 8-pitch.
Johnny Football. Can I ask you a question, please?
Sure, absolutely.
I got a couple questions.
Go
yes.
ahead, Mo.
So if Justin Fields, if he was a rookie right now, like if he was going to be drafted, where would he go in the draft?
The same questions they had about him coming out would be the same questions he would have coming in if he was coming out of college. With the ability to say that he's got 2 years of NFL experience under his belt, he would probably either be first or second with that experience that he already has.
I think I you know what, I agree with you 100%.
Okay. What else
That's
you got
cool.
for me, Mo?
Where would Devin Hester go?
Devin Hester would be
Devin
about a
Hester,
third
come
round
on.
Third round selection. Because he was a risk when he was coming
around?
Out. Yeah, of course, I'm saying when he was coming out of college with his inability to play wide receiver or defensive back,
yeah.
You knew he was only going to be a specialist, and that's where he's going to be able to make an impact. He did try to play some receiver and had some sparkling plays at the receiver position, but he was more comfortable catching the ball facing forward. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Here's
what
no,
catching
totally,
a punt,
100%.
Catching,
yes.
Yeah.
You're right. 100%.
He wasn't
yes.
comfortable he's with his back turned looking at the quarterback catching the ball. He didn't have that same dynamics. You know, he didn't have that same excitement because he'd catch, kind of stop, turn, look, make sure everything was safe, and then he'd go about the business of then becoming athletic once again.
If he was a better defensive back, if he was able to catch the ball and intercept it and then do what he's special to do.
Oh, my. Yeah. But they tried him at
DB. Amazing.
They tried him at Miami of Florida as a defensive back.
He was a cornerback in college. He just couldn't be on the field.
Right. His impact came at special teams.
Yeah.
And that's what every team that looked at him said, hey, special teams. And then they tried to get him to be a receiver because you need more. I can't have you just getting five returns in a game and thinking that you're going to have the fair opportunity to go ahead and impact it. If we can get you to develop as a receiver, now we're going to give you 70 other opportunities during the year to make something happen.
That return he had against Duke, the one where he double backed twice on the return, that is incredible.
Something special.
Mo, what did you think of spring trading today? Your thoughts? You listen to the station all day long. You're one of the long streamers. You listen from 7 a.m. all the way throughout the broadcast day here at ESPN 1000. Any notes from today's spring trading?
You know, I'm happy that Abdullah's so alive.
I am too.
What did you think something was going to happen there in the morning?
No, hey, that I think? No, I don't think, because nobody knows, okay, what could happen between Cap and Abdallah. Now, Cap and Sylvie, Cap and Abdallah, we don't know. Those are the best shows ever. You know, the other, Carmen was awesome. I mean, Sylvie was awesome, of course. No pies in the face today, you know. And you guys, actually, I love your co in the nights. I don't know why. You guys, you're doing good stuff. You know,
and we get to relax at night. You know, it's 6 o'clock. The day's events have already been digested. We're going to digest them a little bit.
Listen,
preview some of the night action. Zoo news. Yeah.
The suits have gone home, right, Yerk? There's no one looking over our shoulder. We're hanging out. Yeah, it's
okay. Okay, and that's the main reason why the Black and Abdallah show I love the most is because we're done talking about the same thing for how many hours during the day. When it comes to the Black and Abdallah show,
let's talk about something stupid.
Pizza. Let's talk about Zoo News. I love it. And guess what, guys? I love you.
Oh, thank you, Mo.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great night,
thanks, Mo.
See you, Mo. There he is, Mo in Frankfurt. Yep, there he is. He gives us notes on the shows.
Yeah. We got a presumptive, a real quick like exit.
I don't know what's
love
going
you guys.
On.
Guys, gone.
He's usually still there. Mo, are you still there?
I didn't exit. Come on.
I was just saying I love you and thank you.
I was going to talk about the draft, but. All right.
Love the draft. We love
all right.
the draft.
We love football. All right. Thank you, Mo. There he is.
Football is great.
Yeah, football is great. I agree.
Like that,
I will co-sign.
Should be our mantra.
I will co-sign.
Football is great.
Football is
great. I'm going to put that banner on the outside.
Football is great. It's what we do.
You think you're going to go with the Bears wrapper around the windows outside?
Yeah, I think it'll be good.
I think we should go with the Bears wrapper.
And they won't be able to see us.
The official. No. It's just like it's
just
on the
top.
Edge. It's on the edge.
Okay.
Of glory. No, it's right there on the edge. It's, you know, blue and gold, official home.
Yeah.
You know, to signifies where the guy.
Orange.
Yeah, orange. That's what I meant. It's my Notre Dame bias coming out. And I truly do have a Notre Dame bias because my brother went there.
Yeah, and I pointed.
And I'm a Southside Catholic.
James Agurney, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, James?
Hey, boys. You know I've been listening for 20 years. I love this stuff. Even to hear Sylvie and Carm together again.
They saved the music. Did you hear it today?
It was great.
They had the guy from the Plain White Tees on.
Yeah, I've only been calling for 3 or 4 years, but I've been listening for years. Hey, talk me off the ledge, Eric and Black, about the Bulls. They get me all excited again. They're going to lose 5 out of the last 6.
Go ahead, Gary. Talk them off the ledge. Thanks, James.
I know they beat Philadelphia yesterday, double overtime. They got Philadelphia again coming up here, but it's going to be at home. I don't know if Philadelphia's going to play as poorly as they did the other day at home. But listen, then they go to Los Angeles. They got the Lakers. They got the Clippers. They got the Lakers.
Yeah,
it's going to be tough.
I think at the moment, though, they're going to make the play-in. Now, they're 34-37. They're 2 games up on Washington in the 11th spot. They're going to make the play-in. Yeah. Whether or not they win in the play-in to get into the playoff, I think it's a whole different story. Yeah. And well, like you're kind of pointing to, Yurko, you also, your grand prize in that has Milwaukee in a 4-game sweep waiting for you in the first round. So
if we can just win one game, we'll be happy.
Yeah.
No, I'm not happy for that.
Well, they did that already.
I'm going to give you something original that maybe you've never heard before.
I like this.
And I want the listeners
to know
this.
You're saving this for 7:56?
Yeah. When the going gets tough... Yeah. The tough get going, okay? There's something original right there for you.
Yeah, there's something good.
And I think that's where the Bulls are at, okay? It's going to get tough. Now you got to get going. Something new and original right there.
That's like when I gave you something original earlier in the office when I said that all history doesn't have any history before it happens.
It's true.
And your response to why the World Baseball Classic isn't good is because there's no good, rich history
there's
to it.
There's not a rich history yet.
It's got to start somewhere.
But I told you, 50 years from now, they're going to love this thing.
Yes. Well, I think people love it
50
now.
50 years from now, my ashes are going to be spread up at the Lambeau.
And your ass.
And at White Hart Lane where Tottenham plays.
Are those the two locations?
Two locations, yes. That way my kids have to go to cheery old England.
All right, Yerk. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Carmen, North Riverside, you want to say goodnight to the people?
Good night, Chicago.
There you
Black and Abdallah, ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.